Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake. As always, you could follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. For today's episode, I will be covering the conference championship games, talking about the Super Bowl matchup, and I am playing the GM of AFC East teams. Last episode was the AFC North, so be sure to tune in to that and check it out. Let's get fantasy.
NFC Championship game, Commanders versus the Eagles. This was the third matchup of the season between the two. They each split it during the regular season, but Eagles got the better hand in the championship, and they are headed to the Super Bowl. They won 55-23. For the Commanders, I mean, they struggled. They played sloppy football, and to be honest, let's look at some of the stats. Jaden Daniels tried his best that he could. He had 255 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. He also added 48 on the ground with a touchdown. Unfortunately, they could not get the run game going. I know Philly's defense front seven is amazing against the run. Brian Robinson Jr. only had 36 yards. Austin Eckler only had 15, but he also fumbled, which is a costly mistake. In the receiving game, Zach Ertz, who knows if he's going to be back next year. He had 11 catches, 104 yards. Great game for him. Just came up well short. Terry McLaurin, 3 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. He had a 36-yard touchdown that cut the lead from 14 to 12 at that point, but Eagles didn't care. Like, they just didn't look back. Dynami Brown, 3 catches, 42 yards. He also had a fumble. But on the other side, Jalen Hurts, questionable coming in this game with his knee injury, but we all knew he was going to play. 20 for 28, 246 yards, one touchdown. That's probably his most passing yards in, what, 5 weeks? He's been only passing for really like 180 is what he's been averaging. But when you have Saquon Barkley rushing 118 yards with 3 touchdowns, I mean, what are you going to do? And then late in the game, Will Shipley contribute 4 carries, 77 yards, and a touchdown. And also, Jalen Hurts, 10 rushes for 16 yards and 3 touchdowns of his own. They had 7 rushing touchdowns in this game. It is just, they blew him out of the water. A.J. Brown, 6 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Dallas Goedert got underneath work, 7 catches, 85 yards. And Devontae Smith, 4 catches, 45 yards. I mean, you look at this game, it is just slop from the get-go for Washington. They really look really offbeat. And once they started having all these turnovers, they just dismantled. And unfortunately, they came up well short in this game. So the Eagles will be representing the NFC. For the AFC match, the Bills take on their playoff rival, the Kansas City Chiefs, and came down to a heave from Josh Allen, but couldn't be caught by Dalton Kincaid. I mean, there's been some controversy about spotting the ball in that fourth down play, if he made the line of gain or not. I mean, I think he got a first down, but that's just my saying. Buffalo lost, though, 29-32 against the Chiefs. Josh Allen had 237 yards passing, two touchdowns. He added 39 yards on the ground. James Cook, also a huge contributor in this game, 85 yards, two touchdowns himself. Mac Hollins, three catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Amazing one-hand grab that was being pass interference during that time. James Cook, three catches, 49 yards. Khalil Shakir, six catches, 46 yards. And Amari Cooper, four catches, 33 yards. Just was not a great day for them. Unfortunately, they came up well short against the defending champs. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he only had 18 completions, but 245 yards, one touchdown. Kareem Hunt, he is a bell cow in this one. I don't know if Isaiah Pacheco is still lingering that leg injury or what, but Kareem Hunt had 17 carries, 64 yards, and a touchdown. Plus, Patrick Mahomes, 43 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Not something you see every day. Xavier Worthy had six catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown as well. Travis Kelce was held in check, two catches, 19 yards. But it was just a back-and-forth battle. It's just unfortunate that, you know, we have to leave it up to other people making calls or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs are your winners. They won. Don't leave it in people's hands. If you think it was or not, you know, let me know what you think. Was it a wrong spotted ball? Was it not? Is most America being just crazy and just thinking everything's rigged? I don't know. But your Super Bowl matchup in 2 weeks, Philadelphia Eagles will take on the back-to-back defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs, for the Super Bowl. A rematch of the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Who do you think, chat, is going to win? Who do you think, who do you like? Do you like the Kansas City Chiefs to three-peat? Do you like Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley to come rushing on over and take the championship away from the champs? What do you think? For me, I got Kansas City three-peating. Travis Kelce proposes to Taylor Swift and rides off into the sunset. But what do you think? I want to know what you think. And before we play the make pretend GM today, let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Oh, I see all this mock draft information out there. Oh, this mock, that mock. Hey, what about a real actual fantasy game? The Flex 4 game on Fast Draft, draftfaster.com, is open. You draft six running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. The top four enter your lineup every week. It's that easy. It's that simple. Drafts take 5 minutes. There's a $50,000 prize pool. It's $15,000 to first. It's just a $5 entry. And the best part, no rake. No rake whatsoever on Fast Draft, the first 2025 best ball contest to open in the world, is ready for you to draft up to 150 teams. DraftFaster.com, DraftFaster.com. Start playing best ball for real.
Yeah, get on Fast Draft. Also, you could use my promotion code LouisLewis5. I think you get up to $25 or a free entry. I can't remember. But be sure to follow us here at Player Profiler. We'll keep you up to date and surround you with fantasy knowledge. Another great way you can stay up to date besides watching in and tuning in on our YouTube channel is getting the All-In Package. With this, you get the Dynasty Deluxe, the DFS Dominator, World-Class Famous Draft Kit, data analysis, and player ranking. Also, you can get the Dominator app, which helps with trades, anything. You can see player ranking right from the app. Go ahead and get that out. Also, another way you could follow us besides follow me personally, besides checking in on Mondays, is check out my podcast at Fantasy End Zone. I come up with new shows during the off season every Tuesday. During the regular season, I will have Tuesday episode and Friday. Tuesday is recapping the weekend games, injuries, my top waiver pickups. Friday is my start and sits of the week, along with I do player prop bets, and I'll give you my personal player props that I'm doing. Also, this year, I am going to have guests and see what their starts and sits of the week is. So you'll get myself and another intelligent fantasy analysis player. Let's play GM for the AFC East teams. I'm doing this 8-part segment on each division. Last week, like I said, I already covered the AFC North. Be sure to check it out. But I will go through divisions team by team, breaking down team needs, cap, you know, their salary cap situation, free agency, and who to target in the NFL draft. So let's play GM. Starting out with the New England Patriots, they finished the season 4-13. They had the number one overall pick until week 18, which moved them down to the number 4 overall. With already a franchise quarterback at, you know, under center in Drake May, they have fired their head coach, Gerard Mayo, after just one season and hired Mike Vrabel as a head coach. They also brought back Josh McDaniels for like the third time to be their offensive coordinator. With the hire of McDaniels, look for them to improve on their offensive stats. They were last in passing per game, but also ranked towards the bottom in points per game, yards per game, third down efficiency percentage, and time of possession. So I see Patriots building on this with the coach. Mike Vrabel is a great coach. I mean, we've seen what he did in Tennessee for years, and now he's back with the team that he played with and won a bunch of Super Bowls with. I see them turning things around with the franchise quarterback now. Mac Jones was not it. They got rid of him. Drake May, he looks the part right now. Their key free agents and skilled positions. I'm only going to talk about skilled positions because this is a fantasy channel, and I don't want to spend time talking about all the defensive players and everything else. But at quarterback, they're losing Jacoby Brissett, who started 5 games and played in 8. He was just a bridge quarterback until they felt comfortable with Drake May to take over. Running back, they're losing Jermichael Hasty, which appeared in 15 games, having 69 yards rushing with 10 catches for 59 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver, they don't lose anyone to free agency. And the backup tight end, Austin Hooper, which had productive games and also finished the season with 45 catches, 476 yards, and 3 touchdowns. When I looked up that stat, I did not see him having, I think, the 4th best or 5th best on the team. I didn't even think about that. Which players would I keep and bring back? I'm letting Jacoby Brissett walk. Since we've seen what Joe Milton could do in week 18 of the season, I know there's rumors. What can we get for Joe Milton in trades? If I'm the Patriots, I'm going to keep Joe Milton for at least another season and see what we have. I mean, we've seen Drake May exit a few games with concussion, injuries. So I would rather keep Joe Milton and kind of play like almost, if you think about it, back in the day when Aaron Rodgers got hurt all the time, they had Matt Flynn. I mean, Matt Flynn also played a couple games and got himself a big money contract that got nowhere near. He didn't even start the following year. But I just keep Joe Milton. He's got the arm talent. I like Jacoby Brissett walk. I mean, why sign a guy for $3 to $7 million when I have a rookie contract deal with Joe Milton, which I think is better than Jacoby Brissett? But that's just me. I'm also letting JerMichael Hasty walk too. I don't see any much value with him having Ramondre Stevenson sign the extension and also Antonio Gibson in the backfield. I am, however, bringing back Austin Hooper. He showed that he had still stuff left in the tank. He's reliable. I think he's only 31 years old, 32 years old. He would sign something similar to what he was making this year, $2.5-3 million. So I'd be bringing him back just to come back and be another option for Drake May and this offense. Their salary cap situation, Patriots have the most free spending, $120 million in available cap. This is before cutting or restructuring deals or anything like that. They currently have $6 million in dead cap with Matt Judah when they traded him to Atlanta and Juju Smith-Schuster. It's not a high number for dead cap compared to other teams, but having still $120 million in free spending, like, it's the most besides, I think the next closest is $90 million. This is huge, especially since, you know, you need a lot of positions, and I think they're going to fill a lot of them. Their team needs are edge, offense tackle, wide receiver, corner, and just depth in the front seven just to help, you know, with the run game, putting pressure on quarterbacks, anything like that. They have plenty of money to throw around, but most importantly, they need a true alpha wide receiver to build around with Drake May. And I mean, you just can't have Hunter Henry lead your team in receiving, and your top wideout receiver is DeMario Douglas, who finished with 66 catches, 621 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So me being the GM, I'm getting my ass and getting out and getting T. Higgins. You'll have to probably spend a lot of money. So I'm thinking $32 to $33 million a year. I'm offering it. He's only 26 years old. You have him plus Drake May. That's could be a great combo. And then you could have DeMario Douglas running these cross routes, you know, kind of play the slot guy. But you need that true alpha, and T. Higgins, I think, is that guy. So I'm spending a whole crap ton on him because you guys pay up to get some of these free agents to come to New England. And I think $32, $33 million a year will get him there. And finally, I am bringing in, I mean, another corner opposite of Christian Gonzalez. And for that, I like Asante Samuel Jr. Also, I'm filling up the gaps and bringing in offensive line help because I don't want to see Drake May getting sacked all the time. So I'm beefing up that offensive line and also the defensive line. I mean, we could look at running backs, but with the extension of Ramondre Stevenson and still have Antonio Gibson on the roster, I'm not spending much money of my open cap to any of these running backs. I'm not a big fan of the free agent running backs this year. The guy that's probably going to get the most might be Najee Harris, and him compared to Ramondre Stevenson, they just don't, it's not worth the money right there. They both are pretty much the same kind of guy. So I'm spending a draft pick, if anything, at running back. Speaking of the draft, like I said, the Patriots have the 4th overall draft pick. I see a lot of people wanting them to take Tet McMillan out of Arizona, the wide receiver. Although I think he's a good prospect, I am not going with that, especially since I signed T. Higgins in free agency. And they kind of look about the same. Big body receivers, kind of playing that X position receiver. I just don't see it. So 3 picks I'm considering My number one choice would be Travis Hunter. He's just one of a kind, in my opinion, generational. But I currently have him going number one overall to the Tennessee Titans. I know a lot of people have Cam Ward going there or Shedeur Sanders. But I think Travis Hunter is the best prospect in this whole draft. So I'd say Titans are picking him. Second, I would consider is Abdul Carter, the edge, Penn State. If he's, you know, taken, I think it's going to be more of probably who's the top three. I don't know. I just think I have him going number three overall. So to me, I would settle for Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks, the offense tackle from LSU and Texas. But, oh, sorry, never mind. I have Abdul Carter actually going to the Patriots at number four because I have Shedeur Sanders going number three to New York. Duh. But I'm spending money on offensive line in free agency, so that's why I'm going out and getting one of the best pass rushers prospects in Abdul Carter. That'll fill that void at edge rusher. I mean, the Patriots are still going to spend maybe O-line help at, you know, the later in the draft or other non-skilled positions. I think the only skilled position I'm going to be drafting is probably a running back, which I think they really phase out Antonio Gibson, but I'm drafting Devin Neal, running back from Kansas. He's one of the better prospects in this draft class as a receiving back. And for that reason, that's probably why they'd phase out Antonio Gibson that struggled half the year. You know, he fumbled a lot. Same with Ramondre Stevenson. I think Stevenson had like three or four straight games that he fumbled the ball. But that's who I'd be drafting. Get you your pass-catching running back of the future. Let Gibson walk the following year. So 2025 outlook for the New England Patriots, I have at quarterback Drake May and Joe Milton. Running back, I have Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, and them drafting Devin Neal, Kansas running back. Wide receiver, I have T. Higgins, DeMario Douglas, Kendre Bourne, Jalen Polk, which, oh man, that's a big miss from them last year, wasn't it? Kayshon Boutte and Javon Baker. At tight end, Hunter Henry, re-sign Austin Hooper and Jaheim Bell, the rookie this year. I want to know what you think of my GM skills for the Patriots. Let me know, chat. Give it a like if you think I did all right. Give me a down or a thumbs down if you think I sucked. But moving on to the New York Jets. J-E-T-S sucks, sucks, sucks. Sorry, that's what they did this year, finishing 5-12 as they thought they had another Super Bowl implication season with Aaron Rodgers since the year before he only played like four snaps before tearing his Achilles. This year was same thing, high hopes, bounce back year for Rodgers. It just fell short. Instead, they just, you know, they had a bad year again, firing their head coach, Robert Salem, midway through the season. The team averaged less than 20 points per game, finishing 24th in the league. And allowing points per game. Sorry. They allowed 24th most points in the game or per game. They finished 24th in yards per game themselves and 16 yards per game. but they finished 31st in rushing yards per game with one of the top running backs in all of football with Breece Hall. And I mean, even Braylon Allen came back and had a great year. Isaiah Davis wasn't bad either. But this offseason, they hired another defensive-minded coach, Aaron Glenn. I guess if you have a, you know, have a style, you know, have a type with Robert Salem. I mean, he was a defensive-minded coach. Let's go to another defensive-minded coach. I mean, they had Rex Ryan years ago as defensive-minded coach. Now let's get Aaron Glenn, which actually he played for the Jets. He was selected in the first round years and years ago. But he'll look to turn the Jets' future around. Some key free agents. Quarterback, they have none. Running back, Keon Inuwagu, which was just a special teams player. Wide receiver, Malik Taylor, which he was buried, and he was a special teams player. But tight end, starting tight end, actually, Tyler Conklin is set to become free agent. He finished the season with 51 catches, 449 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Who am I bringing back? Truthfully, if I'm Jets, me being the GM, actually, I'm bringing no one back. I just don't see the value. Keanu, he's just a special teams guy. Malik Taylor, he's, I think, 30 years old now, 28, 30, whatever. I'm not going to sign any of those. The only one I would consider is Conklin, but I feel like he commands about like a $6 to $8 million deal per year. And I'm just not paying that much for his services. I mean, the Jets have drafted a tight end in the last two seasons or two drafts. So I'm just not I'm not happy with that. Plus my salary cap situation is we're $20 million in free cap. We currently have Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers still in the books, but we do have $20 million in free. If they cut Adams, which would help, it make that $20 million to $30 million in free cap. But they are going to have to decide what they want to do with Davante Adams. Also, they're going to have to eat the contract of Rodgers no matter what. If they release him, I think they still have to pay him $23-plus million as well. I could see also Alan Lazard being cut, giving him an extra $6 million. So just cutting Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, it goes from $20 to $56 million. Like I said, it all depends on what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers in his future. Is he coming back? Is he not? I know there's a lot of talks that the owner, I think it's what Woody Johnson, is allowing the GM, the new GM, and Aaron Glenn make that decision. Aaron Glenn, during his press conference, said he'd consider it, but he needs to talk to Aaron Rodgers, see what, you know, what happens with the future and where they're going to stand. For free agents, their team needs are offensive line, defense line, linebackers as well. It all depends on, honestly, if Rodgers retires, then also you're looking at a quarterback position too, because I just don't like their quarterback position if Rodgers is not there. They won't be able to re-sign corner DJ Reed. I think he's just going to cost them too much, and they still need cap space to extend Sauce Gardner, see what they want to do with Breece Hall, and even, I believe, Garrett Wilson is up for extension too, if I'm not mistaken. But I just think they spend more money on non-skilled positions. I mean, at running back, they're set with Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, and Isaiah Davis. They could use wide receiver help, especially if they lose Davante Adams. If they do lose him, I see them signing some kind of veteran to a decent deal. A veteran I would say is like a Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks, which for them, I'm going to say Brandon Cooks just so he could be the field stretcher. I think that's what they kind of signed Mike Williams to be last season, but just never panned out. So I see them signing Brandon Cooks or a vet like that. Jets own the number 7 overall draft pick. I could see them using it in multiple different ways. I mean, this is all depends on what they're going to do with Rodgers. You know, DJ Reed is going to be gone on the defense side of ball. So one way is Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. Another would be offensive line help with Kelvin Banks from Texas. Or finally, Tet McMillan, a wide receiver from Arizona. I have them personally drafting Will Johnson out of Michigan to help replace DJ Reed and kind of set the foundation at corner. And we, you know, Aaron Glenn used to play corner, so maybe his first pick as a head coach, why not pick a corner and make it the best corner in this draft? And you could set your foundation with Will Johnson and Sauce Gardner. It'd be one of the better duos at corner. Some other positional players I see Jets drafting is at tight end, because I'm letting Tyler Conklin walk. So I'm not spending a high value draft pick, maybe a third, fourth round. Gunnar Helm, tight end from Texas. I know if you guys listen to us here at Player Profiler, Theo Greminger really loves Helm. Just watching him as well, he shows everything you need out of tight end, blocking, catching, anything you need. He actually does if you watch his film. Also, if Rodgers does in fact retire, I think you have to spend a draft pick on a quarterback. Even though they took Jordan Travis from Florida State last year, I think they will either add a veteran to help. I mean, they still have Tyrod Taylor, but in my GM skills, I'm drafting a late round quarterback like Will Howard from Ohio State. National champion, Ohio State. Congratulations, Ohio State. Like, these two are just Bridgestone quarterbacks for the Jets until the following year, and seeing what they actually have out of these two quarterbacks and Tyrod Taylor if Aaron Rodgers, in fact, does retire. One other position is if they need to select a wide receiver, I'm selecting Jack Beck, 6'2 receiver out of TCU. He possesses great ball skills. Another big body back, or big body receiver, I guess, not back, but I just think that'd be a great draft for them. So the 2025 outlook for the New York Jets: Aaron Rodgers at quarterback if he doesn't retire. But if he does, Tyrod Taylor, Jordan Travis, and Will Howard. At running back, we're set still. Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, and Isaiah Davis. Wide receiver is, I'm assuming they're going to get cut Davante Adams, just have more money and cap. So Garrett Wilson, Malachi Corley, which I think he was selected in like the third round or second round last year. What the hell? They didn't even use him. Xavier Gibson, Brandon Cooks, and Jack Beck. And then at tight end, you got Jeremy Ruckid, Zach Kuntz, and Gunnar Helm, who I think will take over the starting position. What do you think about that, chat? Let me know. Moving on again. We got kind of moving along faster. Try to get out of here. Make sure the show is done in time, that I have my time slotted. Miami Dolphins, a win away from the postseason. Dolphins finish 8-9 on the season, falling short compared to the previous season. It just never helps when your quarterback misses multiple weeks. In the games that Tua missed, they were 2-4. One of those wins also came against Cleveland, who had Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the worst quarterback, in my opinion, as a starting quarterback in the league. They won against the Browns. They probably would have lost if Jameis Winston was actually starting, to be honest. They finished 22nd for points per game, 18 for yards per game, 25th for third down efficiency. But they did have a bright spot, allowing 21 points per game, ranking 10th in the league. They also finished 4th for time of possession. Some free agents. Quarterback, they lose Pro Bowl. Yes, Pro Bowl quarterback. No, it's not Tua. Tyler Huntley, which I don't even think he played good at all either. And I mean, once Tua went out, they scrapped whoever could start. Skylar Thompson failed again. Tyler Huntley was a joke. I think they had Tim Boyle starting at some point too, or playing. Just a terrible mess. At running back, they lose a fan favorite, or coach favorite, I guess you would say, and Jeff Wilson at running back. Wide receiver, they lose Braxton Berrios, who is their return specialist, River Craycraft, Dwayne Haskins, and Anthony Schwartz, who are all set to become free agents, and backup tight end Jack Stroll. Who am I bringing back out of this group? I'm letting Tyler Huntley leave. He did not impress me one bit. Plus, he was a free agent when Dolphins needed him midway through the season. They signed him off of free agents. So that's probably where he's going to be. He's not a big priority to me of bringing back. I just did not like his play. I don't even know how he got a Pro Bowl selection before. With a full backfield already, I don't see Jeff Wilson returning either. I'm letting him walk. At wide receiver, though, I am bringing back Braxton Berrios to be my return specialist again. I can also see River Craycraft returning as well. The rest I am letting walk into free agency. As of right now, my salary cap situation for Miami Dolphins, based on over the cap, they are $11 million over the cap currently. So some players are going to have to rework their deals. I expect Tua to rework his deal, help providing relief, but they are going to have a hard time moving the money around and giving the relief they need. What am I doing in free agency? I mean, what money, really? I mean, that's what it comes down to, is how are they going to move money around? How much are they going to have to spend? To me, they also have to figure out if they're going to keep, trade, or cut Tyreek Hill. I mean, he at the end of the season, sounded like he wanted out badly. You know, he had the peace out. See you guys later. The Antonio Brown, his head on his body. I figured right there's your sign of peace. I'm out. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. But they just really have to figure out what's going on with him. I know they had talks and saying that they had positive talks and he wants to be back. Who's to say? It just matters what actually happens. But their team needs, they need offense, defensive line, safety, linebacker, and corner. I see most of this being addressed in the draft. I expect Dolphins ultimately to have a quiet offseason. If I had to say any skilled position, it's going to be like a veteran quarterback like Joshua Dobbs, something like that, to play behind Tua just in case if he gets concussed or whatever else happens. Some kind of veteran better than Tyler Huntley. Just some kind of vet. I don't see them drafting a quarterback with them needing offense and defensive line and corner. They need all aspects on defense as well. Or the only other way they're going to make a lot of noise in the offseason is the Tyreek Hill trade, if they do. But in the draft, they have the 13th overall draft pick this season. I see them, replacing Javon Holland because they won't have enough money to sign him to, they're going to replace him either with selecting Malachi Starks from Georgia in the first round or Xavier Watts from Notre Dame, in my opinion, in the second. I'm going with Watts in the second. Seems like it's a more likely to happen, in my opinion. Since I had Starks last week going to the Bengals at pick number 17, I'm having Dolphins draft Xavier Watts in the second round to Notre Dame. But, I mean, that's because in the first round, I have them selecting an offensive tackle. If I'm them, I'm selecting Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks Jr. But unfortunately, I have those two projected in the top 10. So I believe they're going to take Ohio State offensive tackle Josh Simmons. At skilled position, I don't think they add another quarterback in this. Nothing at running back because they're pretty set there. Wide receiver, I could see them getting a guy spending a late pick, but they spent two last year on Malik Washington and Tajay Washington as well. But I do think they select a tight end this year. And the one I have projected going there is Mason Taylor from LSU. If the name sounds familiar, it's because it is. His dad is Dolphins legend, Jason Taylor. He was an anchor on the Dolphins defense in the late 1990s, early 2000s. He spent 13 out of his 15 years with the Dolphins. So homecoming sounds like the right move for them, just to have backup to Jonnu Smith. So the 2025 outlook for the Miami Dolphins, I have Tua, Joshua Dobbs at quarterback. Running back, Devon Achane stays there. Raheem Mostert, he's still under contract, and Jalen Wright. Wide receiver, I still have Tyreek Hill staying. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Malik Washington, Tajay Washington, River Craycraft, and Braxton Berrios. Tight end, I have Jonnu Smith, Durham Smith, or Smythe, and Mason Taylor. Let me know how I did. And last but not least, the Buffalo Bills. After an impressive regular season, they fell once again, one game shy of the Super Bowl, losing at the hands of Patrick Mahomes and company. Josh Allen, I do believe, is now, 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. What are they going to have to do to get over the hump and make it to the Super Bowl? Well, I mean, it starts in the offseason now. Quarterback, they don't lose anyone. Running back, you lose pass-catching running back Ty Johnson. Receiver that's set to hit the open market is Amari Cooper, who they traded for midway through the season. He made little to no impression for me. I think he hits open market. Also, Mac Holland, who had a great game versus the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. And third string, Quinton Morris, who only played about 8% of each game. Who am I bringing back if I'm the manager? I really like Ty Johnson. I really liked his tape. He's 27 years old. What he could do and help out in the past game, change of pace back if, James Cook is hurt or whatever. He had 18 catches on the year. It's good to have him as a third string running back behind Cook and Ray Davis, his price tag is not going to be much at all as well. I think he only makes about $1 million a year. So I'm bringing him back on small contracts as such. Mac Hollins, I think his demand is not going to be as high compared to like some of the other players. So I'm considering bringing him back. I don't think he's going to cost as much. He's great at pass blocking. That's why they really love him there. And he showed up in the big time games this year. Hence, you know, the AFC championship. But I think Amari Cooper is out of the price range. He's projected, I think, 15 plus million. He just did little to nothing to impress me when he had the chances with Buffalo. So I think they're going to be outpriced with that. They're very capped on the salary cap. Per salary cap over the cap, they are nearly $7 million over. They'll have to most likely convert some of Josh Allen's contract into bonuses. And so they have money to spend or restructure others' deals to create more cap space, shuffle money around. Plus, also, don't be surprised if they end up releasing veteran Von Miller after June 1st, creating $17.5 million in cap space. Free agents. The Bills could use help at corner, safety, linebacker, and on the edge, especially if they lose Von Miller. But as well as a an outside playmaker as well. With their salary cap very minimal, I see kind of like the Miami Dolphins not spending a lot of money at the skilled position. They could probably bring in low player costs like Eric Stokes at slot or corner if they don't resign Rasul Douglas, or, you know, getting some of these players that want to sign team-friendly deals and play on a Super Bowl caliber team. The draft, much like free agency, I look for them to spending their draft picks to fill some of their holes. If any skilled position is getting drafted, it's going to be wide out just because James Cook is going to probably sign for an extension. They already have a decent backup in Ray Davis, but Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir is like the top tier guys at wideout. But I have them penciled in taking Miami wideout Xavier Respo. We're going to go with that. Xavier Respo. He's got good tape. And I think he's at the Senior Bowl this year, so watch out for a name of him for the Miami University. The 2025 outlook for the Buffalo Bills, I have Josh Allen still at quarterback, Mike White, and Mitchell Trubisky as the backups. Running back, James Cook, Ray Davis, and sign Ty Johnson. Wide receiver, re-sign Mac Hollins. Khalil Shakir is still there. Keon Coleman, second year. Curtis Samuel still there. And Xavier Respiro. And tight end, Dalton Kincaid. Catch that ball. Come on, man. And Dawson Knox. Rate my overall ranking for the AFC East teams. I want to know what your thoughts are. Is it good? Is it bad? Do I just suck at doing this? I don't know. Let me know. I want to see what you guys think. Put it in the comments.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in. As always, be sure to follow, like, and subscribe. Click the little notification bell wherever you get your podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode and receive fantasy tips. Remember, I will be doing new episodes during the off season only on Tuesdays. And be sure to check out my Twitter at LouisLewis5. Next week, I am the GM of AFC South teams, and I will catch you later. Peace.